Good morning. Good to be here with y'all today. We pray and then read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you. Thank you for so many things. You are so good and kind. Thank you that we can come together and remember Jesus, and thank you for the cross and what that means to us. How you have invited us to be part of your family and to know you. So God, I pray that as we read your word this morning, that you would indeed make it living and powerful, and that you would speak to us through your word, and that as we read the Bible, that you would open our hearts and draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so last couple weeks we've been asking, actually, it's been a month now, I just saw the number. This is number 5. And there's been a few more that have popped up. I kind of figured there would be, but this won't go on forever. So we've been asking some of the, I would call them, to me, they're difficult questions. And maybe to you, they're like, nah, I've thought about that stuff. It's not a big deal. It's never been a stumbling block for me in my faith. To me, they're difficult questions, and maybe for you they are, because they're the kind of questions that you at least I don't like to think about. My first instinct when I think of these questions or they pop into my mind is to go, let's not even think about that. Because if I think about it, I don't like where it might take me. I don't like what it might make me think about what I believe and what I've held fast to and what I've based my whole life on. And I don't want to ask questions that might rock that boat. But the reason I wanted to look at these questions is because as you look at them, and you open up the Bible and say, okay, what do you say about this, God? What is your answer to this question? What we actually find is asking some of these difficult questions can do the opposite of what we might fear. Instead of making our faith weaker, our faith actually can become stronger. And we, as we go through difficult times, we can actually glorify God in a more meaningful way as we think about these things. So a couple of weeks ago, I asked a question, why doesn't God give me what I ask for? I pray for something, please give me a little brother, and then another sister, and another sister, and another sister, and love my little sister, love them. I shouldn't have even brought that up because I can't do it justice. I love my little sister. So, but anyway, give me a little brother, no little brothers later on, yes, but I was almost out of the home when the first one came, so not to be unthankful. It wasn't what I'd asked for. It wasn't, why doesn't God give me what I asked for? I asked for that thing for over and over and over again, and I still have the same boss at the same job, and this time it's not biographical. Love my boss, love my job. But you know what I'm saying. We ask God for things that, why wouldn't you give me that? It doesn't cost you anything. And what we saw as we opened up the word that day is that God is the one who decides, not us. God is in charge. He's sovereign. That's what sovereign means. He rules and reigns, and he decides what will happen. And even if I ask a million times for something and God has decided, no, that's not going to happen, it won't happen. God's not like, and I didn't use this example that day, but I'll use it in the future, but God's not like a big pinata in the sky, and prayer is not the stick that you hit the pinata with. And if you hit the pinata enough, you'll get what you asked for. That's not the way prayer is. That's not the way God is. He decides. He knows what's best. And from that, from thinking about that question, another question came out, and this might even be a more difficult question, at least from a faith perspective. And I can't take credit for this particular question because actually somebody typed it in a comment to the sermon from a couple weeks ago, and the question was this: why even pray then? If God decides what's going to happen, if he's going to do his will either way, why even pray? I know, you cover your kids' ears. You don't say, hey, don't think about that. Just keep praying. Don't think of that. Why? And then so we start thinking about that. Say, yeah, if God's going to do what he wants anyway, why would I ask him? It's like when I was a kid and I would be grounded, and on frequent occasion, unfortunately, not because I was a good kid. Well, I was grounded and I would ask my mom, I would want to go out, and I would think, I should ask my mom, can I go out? Can I take the car? Can I go out and go into town? We lived in Waverly. Can I go into Lincoln? That was always the Mecca. Go into Lincoln. Can I go into Lincoln? And I would think, why even ask? I'm grounded, and there was a time when I was grounded so far ahead that I was actually going to be out of the home and in college before the grounding would be lifted. That's a true story. That's if that makes you think that I'm not, you know, a good person to be preaching the word of God, that was many years ago, and I'm, it's horrible. Why even ask? Why ask? Because I know what the answer is going to be. So, if I know what the answer. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever been about to pray or in the middle of praying, something you've prayed for many, many times, and you say, in the middle, this the sneaking thought comes in. He's going to do what he wants anyway. He's God. Well, why am I even asking him this? I should just get on with my day. He knows. He's already decided what he's going to do. And in that moment, our logic, air quotes, right? Our logic can derail us. We could see God's sovereignty, and then in our logical minds say, well, why ask him anything? He's going to do what he wants. I'll just sit back and enjoy the ride. And that can introduce distance between us and God. And here, let me hit you with a big idea, and then we're just going to just land on this for the rest of our time. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. The big idea is this. When we pray, the answer to the question, why even pray if he's already decided what he's going to do, if God's sovereign and he does what he wills and he knows it begin from the beginning, why pray? We pray because praying is talking to our Father. That's why we pray. Praying is talking to our Father. It's about a relationship, not an arrangement. Talking to God is not how I get what I want. It's me having a conversation with my Father who loves me. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at how Jesus, we focus on the Lord's Prayer, but look at how he gets there. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners that they may be seen by others. So he's going to contrast this very public, flashy thing that I'm doing for other people. But before that, look at what he says, when you pray. So Jesus takes for granted, you're going to pray. Of course you'll pray. And that's even still, is he talks about, you know, verse 10, your kingdom come. He knows God is sovereign. He is God. He knows that God is sovereign and does what he wills. But he still says, when you pray, takes for granted, we're going to pray. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, again, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's you talking to your Father. It's not supposed to be a flashy public thing that you do so people go, wow, spiritual person. That's someone who knows God. It's you talking to your Father. He uses that phrase twice, the same verse. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. They think God will answer them and do it. They come to God with this bargaining thing. They think that if they say enough stuff, God will pour out on them. It's the pinata, and prayer is the stick thing. I'm going to say all this stuff, and then God will have to give me what I ask for. And if I say the right thing, if I say the magic word, if I say in Jesus' name at the end, then I get it. If I do it right, then I get what I want. That's not the way it is. For they think they'll be heard for the many words. Do not be like them. And then he brings it back to a relational conversation with our Father. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And if you were to end that and say, oh, okay, so he knows what I need, so why would I pray? Continues. That's not the path he's going on. That thought doesn't even enter his mind. He says, pray then like this. And he continues. Listen, for Jesus, the reason why our dumb logic doesn't work with Jesus is because we would say, well, why would I even pray? He knows what I need. Because he's your Father and you're talking to him. And it's a relational conversation. It's intimate time between you and your Father, you talking with him. That's what it is. That's what prayer is. That's why we pray. It's not about taking our list of things that we need to a dictator and saying, please, could you give me some of this stuff? And then measuring how I feel with him based on how much of the stuff I ask for he gives me. It's me conversing with my Father. It's us talking to our Father. It's a relational thing. It's speaking with our Father who loves us dearly. That's why the next line, pray then like this. What is it? Our Father who art in heaven. It's a relational conversation. In that conversation, it's much more than just coming to God and saying, please do this and this and this and this. Think about the Psalms. So why would I pray? God knows what he's going to do. He's the king of the universe. He'll do whatever he wants. It's true, but think about the Psalms. David's, I know they're songs, but they're also David speaking directly to God. That's conversation with God. That's prayer. What did David talk to God about? He asked God for things. Kill all my enemies. That's when we're choosing the Psalms for, you know, our praise reading in the middle of singing for Sunday nights, I tend to skip over those lines. It's like, that's not, I know it's the Bible and it's God's word, but not for this moment. Let's not read that right now. But he asked God for stuff, but you know what he did more than that? He talked to God about what he was feeling, about what he was thinking. He talked to God about what God had done in the past. He talked to God about what was happening around him, all things that God knew and knows. And he talked to God over and over at length, words, biggest book in the Bible. In Psalms, it's David talking to his Father. So why do we pray if God's the king of the universe and will do what he wills? And we pray because praying is talking to our Father. That's why we pray. And isn't that just a natural extension of the gospel? Isn't that what every Sunday as we gather around the table and we remember what Jesus did on the cross and how through his blood and we can go from being people who've rebelled against God and are under his wrath to being people who are covered with his blood and perfect in his eyes, and people who will pass and spend all of eternity with him. Isn't that just an outflow of that? It's a product of the gospel, isn't it? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. What the gospel does is it brings people who are far from God close to God. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The gospel brings us near. We're made God's dearly beloved and forgiven children. He loves us. He smiles when he sees us, when he hears us talk to him. We're made acceptable to God in the beloved. And then he invites us as a product, an outflow of that to what? To draw near to him. Look, flip over to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. And I know in these verses we are just dropping in the middle of context. But let's just pull out a couple things and then, you know, drop back into the full context later in your own time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then, we have such a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For this is the gospel. We're in Christ. He intercedes before the Father for us. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Look at verse 16. Let us then, this is the punchline for us today from this section, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Flip a couple pages to your right, go to the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 8. Again, I know this is in a context, but just look at what it's saying in and of itself. Chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. We're invited. That's the underlying theme of the gospel. We're invited to draw near to God, to draw near to the throne of grace, to come near to the one who is now not just our creator, but our Father. Because of the gospel, we can draw near to our Father and talk to God, and he's our Father. And we could say, my Father who is in heaven. That's why we pray. That's why we pray, because we're talking to God, because we're able to talk to God. And when we pray, we become closer to God. We know God better. There's a the bond that is formed between a father. I'm going to speak as a father because I am. So if you're a mother, or if you've had a father, or you had a mother, just put it in that context, but use the right pronoun for yourself. But for as a father, there's nothing that makes you draw near to your children and have a bond with them and them feel a bond with you than talking and spending time together. This week, I don't tell my kids, I hate the outdoors. Hate camping with a passion. It's the dirt and you can't shower. And if you do, you go into the bathrooms and then the tents and the mosquito spray that you have to put on and then you can't get it off. And just the whole experience, it's excruciating. You're dirty. And even if you brush your teeth, you're still dirty. Just it's the worst. This week, talking with my boys, I was like, you know what? You guys are getting, we need to go on a camping trip, like an extended one. I'm going to take a week next year, and we'll just like take off on a Monday, because Sunday is, so then we'll take off on a Monday, and we'll just like drive for 6 hours and camp somewhere. Then we'll drive for another 6 hours, and we'll hit Colorado and South Dakota and Iowa. You can imagine the just the smell and the grossness of that trip. It's going to be horrible. I want to do it because we're going to talk. Because nothing draws a father and their children and his children closer than, that's why we talk, that's why we pray, because it makes a connection between us and God. He knows it already, yeah, but the connection is stronger after you've talked with your father. And you say, okay, so that's why I pray, but I have my list of prayer requests. What do I pray for? He knows it already. What do I pray for? Well here's the funny thing. Talking to our Father, conversing with our Father as we pray, it actually changes some of the things that we pray for. When children talk to their Father, they start wanting what He wants. What the Father, because of that conversation, the children are changed through the conversation. That's what happens. That's why we talk with our fathers or converse with our Father, because the more that we talk with Him, the more that we actually can not just come to Him and say, do this, but we converse with Him and say, what do you want? And here's what's happening. Here's what I feel. The more that He molds our desires to be according to His will. Think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. Think about his, so if you've read like Ephesians, or if you read Colossians or Galatians or most of Paul's letters, it'll pop up, sometimes at the beginning, it'll pop up either a prayer that he does for them. He'll just, like in Ephesians, the second half of chapter 1, he just launches into this prayer and he's praying for the people. Or he'll say something like, I always remember you in my prayers. I always pray for you. He's constantly praying for these people. He's talking to God about them. And what is he praying for? As important as the new car and the, you know, I'm going to have surgery this week and all of that stuff is, it's very important. I know it is. But what is Paul praying for them? That they would know God, that they'd be close to God, that they would know the power of the Spirit, that they would know what they have inside of them through the Holy Spirit, that they would know how incredible it is that they're God's children, that they would live as the new people that they are. I'm paraphrasing, but those are the things that Paul would pray for the people as he prayed for them. He was praying the things that God would want for them. He was praying for their eternal good more than their problems of the moment. So what do we pray for when we converse with our Father? We should pray for everything. We should pray for our desires and our earthly needs. But more and more, and the more and more we talk and we converse with our Father, the more our prayers will shift in this direction. We should ask for what's eternal. We should ask for what's important to our Father, the salvation and the restoration of ourselves, of our souls, of our relationship with Him, and of the people surrounding us. We pray because that conversation with our Father changes our desires. Why would I pray? Because it changes what you want as you talk to your Father. So then what happens when we pray? If we're talking to God, we're having this conversation, does anything come out of that? Does anything come out of that other than what I want changing? So I'm still praying, asking God to do stuff He's going to do anyway. Why? What happens when we pray? There's some really powerful answers to this in the Bible. So look at Acts chapter 4, one of my favorite accounts. Because we see all of this in one short little story. Look at Acts chapter 4. Short answer. What happens when we pray? God unleashes His power on behalf of His children. That's what happens. Our Father unleashes His power on behalf of His children when we pray. Look at Acts chapter 4. So Peter and John have just been released from being brought before the Sanhedrin and having to give account for what they were doing. And then look at verse. The whole prayer is good. I don't know. Look at verse 23. We'll just read the prayer. It's an example of a conversational prayer. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices to God and said, they were talking to God, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. See how it's conversation. They're talking to God about what he's done and who he is. And then verse 25, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. So they're quoting scripture in their prayer. Why do the nations, the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The rulers of the earth set themselves and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. They're talking to God about stuff that God knows. They're conversing with him. Look at verse 28, to do whatever your hand, your plan had predestined to take place. So they're talking to God and they're going to ask him to do stuff. And they just said one of the verses that just underlines the sovereignty of God. They gathered together to do what? To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So you're the king of the universe. You decide what's going to happen. And then they ask him to do something. They said, now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. So they're saying, help us do what we know you already want us to do. And while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders were performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And look what happens. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. God unleashes his power as his children talk to him. That's incredible. And this wasn't a one-time, one-off thing. Look at James chapter 5. And we're flipping around today, but I'm flipping with you, so. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And then he gives this example to show us the power of us talking to our Father, the power that God unleashes when we speak to our Father. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. He's saying Elijah did that, and he was like us. God worked. God responded to him talking to him. So when you pray, if you're God's child, your prayer is powerful and effective. Our prayers move the powerful hand of God. They move his hand to do his will through us and in us. When we pray, we pray because God unleashes his power when his children talk to him. He does things that he has planned on doing and will do and wants to do through us when we ask him to do them. And you know, even more than that, sometimes God changes his mind. And you say, whoa, God changes his mind. Well, yeah, think about it. That shouldn't be a strange concept. When children speak to their father, we all know this. If you're a parent, you know this intimately. If you've ever been a child, you've experienced this. When children speak to their parents, sometimes the parents change their mind. Otherwise, why would you even ask, right? Well, Dad, you know, you said no to this, but you know, you know what? Yes. Good parents don't always change their mind. And sometimes we do more than we should. But as the perfect father, God listens to his children. And sometimes he says, I was going to do that. You know what? I'm listening to you. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's a conversation with our father. You say, is there any biblical basis for that? Think of King Hezekiah, who was stricken with sickness. A prophet came to him and said, you're going to die. Why? Because God said you're going to die. And so Hezekiah talks to his father and says, please give me more time. And God gives him 15 more years. God said this was going to happen. And then God says, as the one in charge, I'm going to change my mind. And now I'll give you what you're asking. We pray because sometimes God changes his mind. I said sometimes. Not always. Think of the Apostle Paul. We saw a couple weeks ago. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't even go. We're not going to read. But just remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Three times I asked him, I begged him, I pleaded with him, take this away from me. And he said, no, my grace is sufficient. God doesn't always change his mind when we ask him. Sometimes he does. He unleashes his power and sometimes he changes his mind. God, we pray because sometimes God changes according to what we're asking him to do. And more than anything, and to get to the end, and more than anything, when we pray because as we converse with our Father and our relationship grows with him, and we're talking to the sovereign God, and we know that he's not just going to do everything we ask, but we ask him things, and then he does them, maybe not in the moment, but later as we've asked him, would you work in this person's life? Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed for somebody for months or maybe for years, and then God does something in them, and you see it? You see them get baptized, or you see them return to God, or you see God light a fire in their heart, change them. You see God make your child love him. You see God work in people, and you say, I've been asking you that for so long, and you're doing it. How much more do we love and appreciate and grow to trust in our Father when instead of just doing everything behind the scenes and it just gets done, he's ordained sovereignly that his children would talk to him and that we would ask him to do things, many things that he's already decided to do, that he wants to do. But as we ask him, and as we continue to ask him, and as we are like the persistent widow and we continue to ask him, would you please save that person, God? Would you please use this work to impact people with the gospel? Would you please do, as we continue to ask him the same things over and over and over again, he unleashes his power and he works, and then we see him work. And because we've been asking him to do that, what happens? We go, wow, that was God who did that. And there's a sense of just incredible, overwhelming awe and appreciation. And God receives glory, more glory when his children have been asking him to do something than if he just did it on his own without us even asking. That's why we pray. That's why we ask our sovereign Father to do things, many things that we know that he would even want to do and maybe will do even without us asking, but he's ordained that we would talk to him and we would ask him. And as we do, he changes our hearts and he draws us to himself and he makes us know him better. And then we see him work. We say, wow, you did that. I've been waiting so long for that person to come to you and they did. You are an incredible God. You respond and you work and you move. You unleash your power when we talk to you. So, what should we do? What do we do with this? I think the easy application, and we'll get there in a minute, but the easy application is we should pray. We should talk to our Father. We should converse with our Father. But before we get there, listen, if you're not a Christian, if you've never entered into a relationship with God but by repenting and being baptized and giving yourself to him, what you should do when you think of having been able to converse with God and just talk to him and him being your Father, you should enter into a relationship of father and child with God. You should become God's child so that when you pray, you're talking to your Father. You should enter into his family. You should repent and be baptized and give yourself to Jesus, make him your Savior and Lord. When you do that, you become his dearly beloved child. And then when you talk to him, you're speaking to your Father. You're not just saying, would you do this? Would you do this? You're conversing with your Father when you talk to him. In this community, in this family, when you say, I got to do that. I have to become a Christian. I want God to be my Father. And just tell someone. You can repent and you can be baptized. If you are a Christian, what we should do is we should talk with God more. We should talk with God more. So my question for you today, and it's going to be different for all of us. I'll give you a couple of maybe helpful things, maybe not. Maybe they'll spark something. Maybe they'll put something in your mind that the Spirit will use to make you think of something else. The question is, how can you pray more? How can you spend more time talking to God? Maybe for you, it's saying, okay, I need to have some set times where I go into my closet and shut the door and talk to God. So, you know, wherever I'm at, that's the closet. I need to, when I wake up, I need to talk to God. I need to have some time in the morning when I talk to God or when I go to bed at night. This time in the middle of my day, I have some lunchtime. I need to make some just set times. Maybe you don't have those. So that would be a starting point. just some set times in your day where it's like at this time when this rolls around, I talk to God then. I talk with my Father. Maybe for you, you do that, but maybe you've never experienced the incredible joy of seeing God save someone or work in transformation in someone's life that you've been praying for years and months because you haven't prayed for somebody over and over and over again for years and months. And maybe for you, it's just finding a little place where you can write down some people's names and some things that, God, would you do this? And just every day go back to that and go back to that little list and say, God, would you do this? Would you save this person? Would you do this thing? Would you work in this way if it's your will? Would you do this? And just over and over and over again. And then months down the road, God answers one of those prayers. He said, wow, that was incredible. Maybe for you, praying more means doing something. And this is hard. I struggle with this one. Doing something to where you develop this habit of spontaneously talking to God, where just throughout your day, there's little triggers, there's things. Maybe for you, it's every time you reach for your phone because you want news or texts or something, and you say, okay, before I hit my thumb over here and it turns on, I'm going to talk to God for a second. Maybe that's a trigger you could use. Maybe a trigger would be every time you start driving. Don't close your eyes for that prayer. But every time you start driving, just talk to God. So that becomes a trigger. You get in the car and you start driving and you talk to God for just you spontaneously have times where you've little triggers that happen. Or maybe it's every time you feel stress and you just you're worried and that becomes like, I'm gonna talk to God now. Whatever it is, whatever you can do to pray more, do you do that? Because the more that we pray, the more that we converse with our Father, the more he changes us, and the more that he unleashes his power on behalf of his children. That's why we pray. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you. Sometimes when we think about this, we're very conscious of the fact that our enemy will do anything to keep us from talking to you. Even using your greatness and your power to make us go, why? Why would I talk to him? He's going to do it anyway. God, I pray that you would shatter that lie from the enemy in our minds and our hearts, and that you would capture our hearts with this idea of talking to our Father, that when we pray, we're talking to the one who loves us most. And you change us and you change other people and you do things when your children talk to you. It's a relational conversation and you move like any good father does when his children speak to him. God, I pray that you would, in each one of us, that you would guide us through your Spirit to show us how we can make talking to you something that we do more and more every day. To where at some point we can say, yeah, I pray without ceasing. I'm always talking to my Father. Make that our reality, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.